Welcome to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Live from Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. And here we are. I want to tell you what, we have an awesome program tonight. And our programs for January have just been off the charts. And as we go into the rest of the month, plus what we have going on in February, we have some wonderful guests coming up. We are Facebook Live tonight, so I appreciate your patience the last week or two where we couldn't get into that, but we are also iHeartRadio and I don't know how many other Spotify's and I don't even know how this stuff works. All I know, we are around the world and just welcome to Breaking the Silence. And let me tell you, football's not that great tonight, so you might as well be watching tonight and you can kind of watch out of the corner of your eye if you want to what the score is, but tonight's discussion is something that every person in our country, matter of fact, on the face of this world, needs to hear. Whether you are a teenager, whether you're 90 years old and you have 23 great-grandchildren, you need to hear. Even though it's going to be raw, it's going to be real, but everybody needs to be aware because I think this is one of the problems in our world that we have stuck our head into the proverbial sand hole and ignored what has been going on, and it has caught up and passed our wildest nightmares of what's happening into our country. But before we get to that guest, I want to let you know next week we have Adrienne Augustus, and she is the founder and president of Beautiful Mind Foundation. And I believe tonight's guest, next week's guest and myself were the three people that was honored in Boston recently by the city of Boston. And I can't wait to get the little certificate. I want to put that on the wall because nobody else honors me, but it was wonderful to have that and kind of be appreciated for the work that we do. Tonight, I want you to write this down, 888-627-6008. We're going to have just a great conversation. I love for you to get involved. Because of the topic, you may not want to call live, but you're welcome to. We want you to. We want you to get involved. But if you want to just get online, type into the Facebook Live. It's Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. You can type in all the comments. Son Curtis is right there watching and regulating and kind of commenting back and forth with you. If you have a question, get involved. I usually take about 5 to 6 more minutes to give you some tidbits and wisdom. Tonight, when I say good evening, our guest is going to start talking and probably not stop for a couple hours. I have heard her all afternoon, and I want to let you know I have convinced myself after a lot of research this week, after listening to a lot of interviews, TED Talks, debates, workshops, conferences, things that she has done, and you can just type in her name and you can come up with hour after hour after hour of research. And I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt, she is the world-renowned expert on the topic that we're going to talk about this evening. Preface, okay? Let me just let you know right up front, this is going to be a sensitive topic. This is a PG-13 topic. The topic that we're talking about is X-rated, but the show tonight, if you have young children that's listening, You may want to kind of get them off into another room, maybe something else that they can listen to, because we're going to talk about a subject of pornography. And let me tell you, as Breaking the Silence host, and I work in Baylor and all the other stuff, and I'm also a pastor and all this other stuff. Let me tell you, I think we have a topic tonight that affects every family that's listening and every family that ignores that this is a problem in our world, because it affects everyone. And I think COVID, and we're going to talk about that too, the COVID year of having our children online, getting school work done and all the access that they have and the internet that's actually right here on their phone. The accessibility to what we're going to talk about tonight is horrendous. And it's a different world. And don't let me tell you about this. Let our guest tell you about this. Dr. Gail Dines is a professor emeriti of sociology, has been researching and writing about the porn industry for over 30 years. She is the recipient of the Myers Center Award of the Study of Human Rights in North America, the author of all kinds of books and articles, and her latest book, Unbelievable. And if you really want to get into this subject and find out more about it, I highly recommend this. Great read, Pornland, How Porn Has Hijacked Our Sexuality. And that's been translated in five languages and maybe six now, but I know it's five or six. She is the founding president, and I want you to write this down, and CEO of a nonprofit organization that I want to encourage everybody to get on this site now or immediately when the show is over, called Culture Reframed, C-U-L-T-U-R-E, Reframed. And this is dedicated to building resilience and resistance in children and youth to the harms of the hypersexualized and pornified society. And they have wonderful free educational programs for teens, tweens, parents, and it's wonderful, great, scientific research-based information. And I could just keep on going, but she is also, she regularly appears on CNN, NPR, BBC, CBC, and writes for all kinds of different news outlets, The Guardian, The Washington Post, Newsweek, and The Boston Globe. And I want to let you know, it is an honor to have the expert on this industry, Dr. Gail Dines, with us tonight. And Doctor, can you hear me tonight?
I can. Thank you for such a lovely introduction.
Well, that's great. I tell you what, it's all true. And I am really, even though I'm hesitant about this subject, because this is kind of like talking about sexual abuse, talking about rape and sexual trafficking. It's never going to be a pleasant conversation because the topic is raw. And for us to turn away and ignore it is as wrong as ignoring what your kids are online watching right now. So this is real. This is an issue. And this is different from my era when my brother had on the walls of his bedroom every centerfold pasted all over his bedroom wall. Every corner of his bedroom wall was covered with centerfolds of Playboy. Doctor, tell me how, first of all, welcome, but I want to get involved in this so much because the information is so important. Tell me how the industry has changed from my childhood when Dad was looking at Playboys and penthouses, and even, you remember, of course you remember because you're a pro at this, but the rough one was Hustler. How has it changed from that era to 2021? What are we involved in now?
Well, it's dramatic. Perfectly honest. I'm getting feedback. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Yes, okay. Come out a little bit, but you're doing fine.
Okay. So I mean, it's seismic. I can't even begin to explain, but let me start saying what changed. You know, the generation, our father's generation, grew up, as you said, with Playboy, Penthouse, and maybe Hustler. But usually Playboy and Penthouse. And what would happen was, you know, kids would find their father's or brother's Playboy, have limited access to it, and would be in the world of, you know, good-looking women bending over with a coy smile on the face in a cornfield. That was what you got. And that's what they masturbated to. Today, the completely different world. And let me begin where it started with 2000, when the internet became domesticated. And what happened is that immediately the porn industry cannibalized the internet in 2000. And what happened is pornography became affordable, accessible, and anonymous, the three A's that drive demand. So when, you know, for those of us who are researching this, it was such a shock to watch it go from Playboy, Penthouse, Hustler, literally overnight in 2000 to hardcore became the norm. And today, what is mainstream pornography on the internet is what in your generation, or, you know, just pre-2000, you would have to go to a porn shop and you would have to know somebody in that porn shop who stopped extra violent porn. That was not the type of porn you could buy in a porn shop unless you had dealings with somebody. This is the type of porn now that when an 11-year-old boy, which is, by the way, what studies show is the first age of viewing porn, although anecdotal evidence suggests earlier, when they type in, I don't know, porn or boobies or whatever, they usually they type in something like boobies or something or butts. When they type that into Google or when they go into Instagram or Snapchat, they are catapulted into a world of sexual violence, because the main visited, the largest website in the world is Pornhub, owned by a company called MindGeek that nobody's ever heard of, but is based in Montreal and is the Amazon of pornography. Distributes the vast majority of the pornography that the world sees. Mainstream porn on Pornhub, which is in the top 10, by the way, of all websites, it's all up there with Google and YouTube. You get catapulted into a world of women being tortured. And when I say sexually tortured, I'm not exaggerating. I'm talking about orally, anally, vaginally, pounded away by three men, hair pulling, spitting in her face, calling her every name under the sun. And in fact, the violence is so brutal that in pornography, a woman can only really be there about 3 months and then her body gives in. We know that they have constant anal prolapses because of the very rough anal sex. Because of the ejaculation in the face, they've got an antibiotic-resistant strain of gonorrhea of the eye. Their bodies are completely trashed after 3 months. That's it. So when I, and this is, by the way, all backed up by studies. I'm not just talking about this. And also my many interviews with women who've been in the porn industry and who have exited. So this is the world now what our 11-year-old boy gets catapulted into. This is why there is not anyone on this earth who is not affected by pornography. Even if you never look at porn, you are going to be, if you're a girl, you're going to be dating boys who are using porn. If you're a woman, you're going to be married to men who use porn. We know that pornography is one of the chief reasons for divorce. We know that pornography is one of the key factors in driving child-on-child sexual abuse. We know it's one of the key factors in driving violence against women and children in all its forms from adult men. We also know from recent research that now we have men who are not pedophiles who are becoming addicted to pornography and through boredom are going to child sexual abuse images, pornography, and are then raping children. And I interviewed a group of these men in prison a few years ago, 8 of them, all of them in for downloading child pornography. And then it was between 6 months to a year that they raped a child. And I said to these men, are you pedophiles? And they were really angry with me. And they said, no, of course we're not. We prefer sex with adult women. So I said, then why did you rape a child? And you know what they said? We said we were bored. We wanted something different. So they blew up all these children's lives because they were bored. And now there's actually empirical research coming out that is showing, indeed, that men who had no prior interest in children are becoming more interested because they are bored and desensitized by their use of everyday mainstream porn.
You know, we've had Doctor, this is Sexual Trafficking Awareness Month, and we've had several people over the last year, year and a half that I've been on the air that we've had sexual traffic victims and survivors, and I'll say victims or survivors, and of that. And majority of them, well, all of them have said that the person that comes in that hires them for $20 for a sexual act will usually go, hey, this is what I want to do. And it's one of these violent, aggressive. Do you think it's fueling things that men would never have ever dreamed of doing because they're being inundated with this traffic that they're watching, and it keeps going, like going from cigarettes to pot to heroin to cocaine? Same thing. It's they're becoming addicted, and then they want to act it out, and they find themselves off into a hotel room on the bad side of town. Never would have dreamed of doing this, but because of what it has done to their mind,
and their brain. See, we have a lot of research now coming out of neuroscience on how pornography affects the brain and changes the brain. But there is no question, if you look at the research, and I mean multidisciplinary research from psychology, sociology, neuroscience, you name it, it's all coming out with the same findings, that the more porn boys and men watch, the more likely they are to become anxious, depressed, get involved in risky sexual behavior, more likely they are to sexually abuse, more likely they are to go to trafficked women, the more likely they are to abuse children. This research even came out before the internet, just with Playboy and Penthouse. So now imagine what the research looks like when it's on boys and men who've been brought up with hardcore porn. You have to realize this is an experimental generation of kids, because we have never before brought up kids with access to hardcore free pornography. It is also an experimental generation for parents. It's because parents have never had to parent kids who are being brought up with access to hardcore pornography. And I have to say, you know, I lecture all over the world, and it doesn't matter where I am. Parents often do not know what is going on. And in fact, studies, we know that most parents underestimate how much porn their kids see by 50%, and that they underestimate by a factor of 10 what they're seeing. And the parents don't know what to do. And I have to say, after I have finished speaking, there is a sense of despair in the room when suddenly they realize, I've got a 12-year-old and I've never talked about porn, or I've got a 14-year-old, or suddenly... And like this happens many times where their kids are having certain behavioral issues and they couldn't understand it. And then when I start talking, it's like the light bulbs go off. Oh, my kid's using porn, locked in the bedroom, won't let me near their devices, won't let me near their password, has withdrawn from any activity. You know, there's all these warning signs, which we can discuss later, but there's something I'm talking about them. You see light bulbs going off, and you know, it doesn't matter if I'm lecturing to a room full of teachers, a room full of parents, a room full of pediatricians. It's mainly women who come to these lectures, you know, given that's how the world works. And they come in at 9 a.m. as pediatricians, as social workers, as whatever. By 9:15, they're all parents, they're all mothers, and they're all freaking out. They are literally beside themselves because, and I have to say, I'm so happy that my son is in his 30s because I didn't have to deal with this at all, very little. But, you know, and it's not the kid's fault. I want to make this perfectly clear. It is not the boy's fault. It is not the girl's fault. This is a predatory industry, the porn industry, that has the bulls in their bullseye, and the target is your 11-year-old boy. This is their business plan, because I also study the business plan as well as the harms of pornography. And you cannot understand pornography without understanding the business plan of the pornographers.
Before we go to the first break, which is about a minute, the porn site, one of the statements that you said in several of your interviews, the porn sites get more visitors each month as what?
Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter combined.
Combined. Amazon, Netflix and Twitter combined, the porn site gets more than that. The porn sites do.
Yep.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. On the other side of this commercial break, I want to talk about the age, the statement, and I don't want you to bring it up yet, but I want you to bring it up at the very beginning of the next segment. The age of 10 how much percentage does the average 10-year-old have of all the percentage of people 18 and under that are watching porn? The age, and I know the statistic that you said or your cohort said with culture reform, but I want to throw that out, and maybe at the break we'll talk about it. But on the other side of this break, this is a conversation every parent needs to hear, every grandparent needs to hear, every teacher, social worker, doctor, everybody in the United States in this world needs to understand what's going on these devices, probably right now while you're watching this program. 888-627-6008. Get involved. We'll be right back with Dr. Dines on the other side of this commercial break. Hang with us. Be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Welcome back. 888-627-6008. We would love to get you involved in the conversation tonight. I would love for somebody to debate Dr. Dines tonight. I have seen this woman in action, and she has the statistics, the information, the researches. I would want you in my corner for any fight, doctor, that I have ever heard. Unbelievable. And your TED Talk was unbelievable. It was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Encourage everybody to get in and just to read some of this stuff and listen to some of this stuff. The three A's were very important. If it's affordable, if it's accessible, and if it's anonymous, it's going to happen, right? It's going to be available.
What you're doing is you're easing the pathway towards pornography. Think before, prior to the internet, you know, a kid had to get on a train or a bus, go to a porn shop, and probably couldn't get in, right? Now it's all it needs. And the issue is, remember, we call our kids are digital natives, whereas their parents are digital immigrants. So kids have access so much quicker. They can run rings around their parents. And in fact, it's really interesting. There's a great story from somebody who's a former porn addict. And he was a porn addict from 12. And he was saying that when the school got new laptops and they put all these devices on and all the protections they could, they said within 15 minutes, an email was sent out by the kids telling them all how to get around it because somebody'd figured it. So, I mean, as much as I suggest you do have as much protection on as you can, and now with the cell phone, now it's what's happened with the cell phone is really interesting because, you know, parents were just getting a handle on how to have safety. For example, you had a laptop in the middle of the room. The kids were not allowed to have computers in their room. You're monitored. As soon as the cell phone came, that was it. They lost all power. And it shouldn't surprise you that who do you think were involved in the R&D of the cell phone, the pornographers, of course. And in fact, they knew that if they could develop, and they, their speciality was making sure the screen was really clear, because they realized this was going to be the main device through which boys and men got their porn from. What's really interesting is there was two reasons. Number one, at a conference in England, I actually live in the United States and Culture Reframed is based in the United States, but there was a conference in England where there were, prior to the cell phone coming out, they said, we have to develop this because we cannot get into countries that are overcrowded like Brazil and Mexico, because men, there's one computer in the room and the men can't masturbate to it in the middle of the room. So we want to break into Brazil and India. And indeed, they've broken into all of these countries that were overcrowded. Secondly, of course, the kids. Because once that kid has a cell phone, you cannot follow that kid around, nor should you. Just think of what this is. You get into early adolescence, and really the job is you front load your parenting, because there's a time in the kid's life when they think the parents are the smartest people in the world. And then overnight, they think you're the dumbest person who ever walked the earth. So you front load your parenting when they think you're really great and smart. And you hope that that's going to, you know, during those periods when they think you're really dumb and stupid, it'll stay with them.
Right. But
so you can pull back a little bit because they need to individuate. That's healthy. However, that is the very time they're going to meet pornography. So can you see how the pornographers have undermined the capacity for parents to parent? Because parents really do need to step back a little bit, but they can't. In a toxic culture governed by the porn industry, they have made parenting impossible. And when I think about this, and I think, you know, parents come up to me and after what they've heard, they're distraught and they say, what can I do? And the truth is, this is too much to ask an individual parent to cope with. It's like a parent saying, how do I stop my kid from breathing polluted air? You can't. You need a whole society to work with you on that. And that's really why we built Culture Reframed. We built that because we said to parents, you can't do this alone. And we are here. We are going to help you do this step by step. We are going to educate you. We are going to build skills, knowledge and confidence for you to have conversations with your kid about pornography. We're here holding your hand all the way through it. And each of our programs, by the way, took about 18 months to develop. The one of parents of tweens and parents of teens. Each one was developed by 8 multidisciplinary experts. Once they were developed, they were then sent out again for peer review. So everything you see is fully peer reviewed by the experts in the field, but it's very accessible. It's on a great learning platform. We've embedded lots of videos, so it's interactive. You can go in for 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, whatever you want. We've made it sort of be at the pace of whatever the person, what the parent wants it to be. And we've got lots of videos that we suggest you watch with your kid. We say first watch it on your own to make sure that you know your kid is developmentally prepared. But we've got a great video, for example, on a cup of tea. Have you heard of the cup of tea video?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. So it's great about consent, you know, because you've got this very clipped British accent, more clipped than mine, saying, you know, if I wanted a cup of tea yesterday, it doesn't mean I want one today. And if I asked you for a cup of tea and I fall asleep before you bring it, please don't pour it down my throat. And it's sort of what it really does is help you to scaffold the idea of consent. So here you can have it with a 6 or 7 year old without mentioning the word pornography. Because we believe, like most educators do, that you have to scaffold knowledge. So we don't suggest you have conversations with your 6-year-old with the word pornography, but you can have conversations about your body, the privacy of it, how you own it. And then you start scaffolding up to about 11 or 12 when you do indeed have to have the porn conversations. And what we say is do not have 100-minute conversation. Have a 101-minute conversation.
Yeah, that's
not just us, by the way. That's very typical in...
Repeat that. Don't have a 100-minute conversation.
But a 101-minute conversation.
Have 101-minute conversation. So it's a continual discussion.
And don't lecture them. Don't lecture. That's the worst thing. See yourself as partnering with your child as a parent, and that you two together are not going to allow the porn industry to hijack their sexuality. So no lecturing, no hectoring, even if you find pornography on their devices. What we say is, when you walk, if you walk in and you find your kid looking at pornography, close the door and walk out. Go to the internet, go into culturereframe.org, read our Compose Yourself model. which is all about how to become more mindful. Do not have a conversation when you're upset. Then when you've calmed down, you knock on the door because you're giving your kid privacy, and then you say, we're going to have to discuss this at some point. And we've got 2 days. You decide when, but within 2 days, we have to discuss this. I'm not mad at you. We need to talk about this. And the reason for that is, first of all, your kid will be so ashamed and feel such self-loathing. Can you imagine? So you want to give them the space. And secondly, the pornography industry has been leeching power from your kid. By you telling your kid that they decide within 2 days when to have the conversation, you're giving some power back to the kid. Right? You're being respectful.
Was it someone with your organization, or maybe an interview you did, he said the parents don't need to police, they need to protect.
And they need to do more than protect. They really need to help build a moral compass inside their kids, to that, because you can't be with your kid the whole time.
Right.
You have that kid. And I can certainly talk about what I did for my own son, whose name I won't mention, obviously, but I did something, and it was really important how interesting how it played out. So when my son was 11, and my husband and I had many conversations with him about this that were age appropriate, but around 11, and one thing we know, if you're talking to boys, never face to face. If you're in the car, never eye to eye, right? Because boys do not do well in conversations like that. So if you're in the car or you're having a bike or you're biking. So when my son was 11, I said to him, you know what? You're going to probably see porn. Maybe you'll look for it, or maybe a friend will show you. I don't know. But I just want you to think about something before you look and realize something. You have a choice. You don't have to look. Okay, so first of all, you have a choice whether you look or not. Secondly, I want you to think about who you're going to be sexually as an adult. You don't know yet, but you know what? It's going to grow into them. It's going to be just like the wonderful adult you're going to be. Your sexuality is going to be just as wonderful as you're going to be, and you're going to own it, and you're going to be the architect of it, and it's going to be great. But if you look at pornography, guess what? The pornographers are going to steal it from you before you've even owned it and know what it looks like. And that's a terrible thing to lose before you've even owned it. And then in his 20s, when he was in college and we were talking about it, he said, well, Mom, you pretty much ruined pornography for me, which is, of course, exactly what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then a few years later, something very interesting came up. He was going out for a drink with some of his friends from university, and he found out they were going to a strip club. And he went back to his dorm room. And I said, why did you do that? And I thought I was going to get all the mother answer of, you know, violence against women, blah, blah, blah. But what he said was much more interesting. He said, you know what, Mom? I've only got this one body to live in. And had I gone to a strip show, I don't think I could have stood to live in my own body to know that I had been part of exploiting a woman. I just couldn't stand it. And I thought, that's what you want. You want the moral compass. You don't want him reciting his mother's argument on violence.
Right.
You want him to understand his bodily integrity. And you know what? We never teach boys about bodily integrity. We always say boys can be boys. Well, no. You know what? They can be a lot more, because boys are born as fully human, with all the capacity for love and intimacy that girls are. And to suggest that boys are born less, I would argue, is about as man-hating as you can get.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. To keep up the promise that I promised before the break, the figure that I was looking at, for kids under the age of 10, they account for how many of the percentage of porn consumers under the age of 18. Do you remember that figure?
No, well, it's very hard to figure that out. I didn't get that figure because I've not.
It came with, I believe it was an interview with you and your partner in Culture Reframe.
Oh, that would
she
have been
said
good.
That 22% of those children that watch porn under the age of 18 are 10 or under.
Okay, and it's probably gone up now because of COVID. You realize everything's everything is so much worse because of COVID. First of all, Pornhub has seen a massive increase in traffic from 100 million a day to 134 million a day visits. Okay, so we're talking about a huge increase. Also, what we know, and the reason for that is that Pornhub made its premium free during COVID. So it opened up. Most of Pornhub is free. It's sort of more high quality. It's behind firewalls, the premium. Their gift to the world for COVID was to open up their premium free so that men would have even more access to more porn while they're in lockdown with women and children. Are we surprised that violence against women and children have gone through the roof in COVID? And I recently did a webinar with all child protection agencies from all over the world. Do you know that the increase in child pornography has gone through the roof in production and consumption during COVID? Because kids are stuck at home. The majority of kids who are sold into porn are sold by their parents. There's no one watching over them. The kids have got no social workers, no teachers, nothing. So we not only got a massive increase in the consumption of mainstream porn on Pornhub, which is bad enough, we're now seeing an increase in the production and consumption of child sexual abuse images. So things have got, and you know what's going to happen after COVID? Those kids and men who've been watching more porn, they're not going back to that. They're not going backwards, right? They're going to continue watching more. So this is more crucial now than ever before that we start educating our kids to be porn resilient and porn resistant.
For an average person, I'm 57, three boys, that's, you know, right around the 30 area, 29, 30, 28 in that area, all three of them. I am out of touch with reality of what this is all about. What kind of regulations does our government have on this stuff coming into this to my grandchild if he just types in one word like cheerleader? Or because I had one that typed in looking for a cheerleader outfit, and all these sites come up. They are pros. What kind of government regulation is on any of this stuff?
Very easy to answer. Zero. None. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. This is the, I think this will be, this is the one Western country, the only Western country I know that is not looking into age verification or some form of regulation.
Why? Nothing.
It's a very difficult, first of all, it's the First Amendment here. It's argued that pornography should be protected by the First Amendment because it's speech, which it actually isn't. It's the documentation of violence against women and children. It's not speech. It's actual acts. And then the pornography is the documentation of those actual acts of violence. But the pornographers have been excellent. You know, they have their own lobbying arm called the Free Speech Coalition. What a horrible name, the Free Speech Coalition. But they have got millions of dollars. And I've actually been, I was the expert witness for the Department of Justice a few years ago at the level of the Third Circuit against the Free Speech Coalition. They've got tons of money. And you know what the case was about? There was a law called 2257. And the porn, and the law said that everyone on the porn set has to have ID. They have to keep ID and just photocopies of ID that everyone on the porn set is 18 or above. Do you know that the porn industry has been fighting that for 30 years?
Why?
They do not, because they don't want to have to have check they're 18 or above, because then it opens the door for children, right? So they don't get, and so what happened is I was, it was really interesting. I was the expert witness, went up against a UCLA professor who was the expert witness for the pornography industry, saying why we didn't need age verification on the porn set. And I'm glad to say we won. Department of Justice, we won. And then 2 years later, the very same judge overturned it. So now secondary producers who are the distributors, that's Pornhub, MindGeek, they basically, there's virtually no law you can get them if you find child pornography on their sites. That's thanks to the overturning of the case 2 years ago by the judge in Philadelphia.
So no regulation, so they are free to make whatever money they want with a 14-year-old?
Yeah, they are free. Not the producers. The producers are still liable. But the distributors, what the last ruling in 2257 did was to say that the distributors are protected if they find child pornography on their site. And you know what? There was, because when I was working for the Department of Justice, I stumbled on it. I actually thought incorrectly it was behind firewalls. It turned out I found it on Pornhub. I sent, and I had to send screenshots to the Department of Justice. I thought I was sending an image of what looked like a 12-year-old, but she was 18. I had no idea, even me, with all my research. That anyway, I then get a phone call from the Department of Justice saying they were panicked. I'd sent child pornography through the internet. I didn't know I was sending it. And they said, there's no safe haven. You could go to prison for this. And I said, fine, let's make a federal case out of this. That the leading anti-porn researcher in the world goes to prison because she accidentally stumbles upon child pornography on Pornhub. Let's make a case about this. Meanwhile, my husband, of course, is, you know, trying to grab the phone out of my hand saying, shut up, you're not going to prison. But I was saying, I am ready for this. You go for it. Because just let the world know that it took me 3 clicks on Pornhub to get to actual bona fide child pornography.
Wow. Whew, okay, we're going to take our last break, and I'll tell you what. On the other side of this break, I write down cultureReframed.org. You want to get on this site. You parents, I can't encourage you enough to get on these sites to how to talk to your child. On the other side of this, I want to talk, Doctor, about warning signs. How can we know if your child is, there are there warning signs of, hey, wait, there's a red flag here. What are some of those that parents need to know right now? So when they walk into the room and the light's flashing, what's the warning sign? So we're going to talk about that on the other side of this last break. And then we're going to let people know how to get straight in touch with you and then how to help you with this wonderful, wonderful mission that you're doing, not only in our country, but in the world. We'll be right back after our last final commercial break.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. And I tell you what, we have the expert on this subject. And to be honest with you, this hour has just flown by and I knew it would. We have about 15 minutes left and we're going to let Dr. Gail Dines explain to us. And I want to throw at you a line that you use a lot, that porn is now a public health crisis. What do you mean by that?
Well, I would add now it's a stealth public health crisis because so few people know about it. What it means is that it impacts every facet of our lives. It impacts the social, emotional, and cognitive impact of kids' lives. It impacts families, community. I mean, I can't tell you how many families have been broken apart by this, by their kids being addicted to porn, by their husbands being addicted to porn, and in some cases the wives, less often, but it also happens. And it also has a domino effect, because when you destroy, and what we know from studies is that porn destroys the capacity for intimacy, connection, and love. Let me ask you a question. What are the 3 things you need to make life wonderful? Intimacy, love, right, connection, all the things that make life worth living. We know that the younger a boy gets to porn, the more limited capacity it is for intimacy, connection, relationships, and just the capacity to love. So this is the way in which it public health is, that it affects all of us in different ways. And also the solutions can't be individual. When you have a public health crisis, as we well know what we're living through, it can't be an individual solution. It has to be collective, which is actually why we did develop Culture Reframed, because we wanted to speak not just to parents, but to pediatricians, to social workers, to child protection organizations, to anti-trafficking. And what was very interesting, I was invited to at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. And I spent a day there. And, you know, they have many campuses, the Violence Against Women campus, the anti-trafficking, the child. Do you know, they've never spoken to each other about, number one, they've never thought about pornography, not one of them. And number two, they've never spoken to each other. And when they got into a room and I helped them join the dots between child abuse, violence against women, trafficking, it suddenly, again, they'd never thought in these ways. So the public health approach is critical. So this is how we define it. We start with the center is the child, the kid. And then we think of everybody who helps to bring kids up. And what we know from public health, of course, that the most important group, the most important protective factors are educated, skilled parents, and then educated, skilled pediatricians, teachers, social workers, families. So what we do is we build programs out from the kids. So we fortify the parents. We then work with many pediatricians. I gave a keynote at the American Academy of Pediatrics of 15,000 pediatricians. That started a lot of work with the pediatric organizations. You know, none of them knew anything about pornography. There I was in front of 15,000 pediatricians, and it was like deadly silence in the room afterwards. They were so shocked.
Wow.
So we work with, and what was interesting is although we built our program for parents, because there's nothing like it that's science-based and research-driven and accessible, we found that pediatricians were using it, social workers were using it, sex educators, and all over the world. It's being translated into Turkish, Spanish, Swedish, Norwegian, and we're actually, I'm doing a training next month in Turkey because I did a webinar and I got 1,000 Turkish therapists in December.
Great,
and
they
never talked about it in Turkey. So
we have a caller, and we do not pre-screen our calls.
Okay.
But Daphne from California is on line two. Daphne, can you hear us tonight? And do you have a comment or a question for our guest, Dr. Dines? Welcome.
Hi, yes, I think I probably called in a little bit early. I was calling for the name reading.
Oh, you were calling Sharon?
Yes, I think I called a little bit early. I'm so sorry.
Okay, no problem. Well, welcome to the program. I hope you're getting some good information tonight. No problem at all. Okay, thank you for calling. Dr. Dines, warning signs. What can parents do? And then what's the warning signs?
Okay.
Because we are in about a 10-minute, and I want to make sure we get to a chance to what can we do to help you with your cause. What's the warning signs, and what can a parent do?
Okay, so first of all, warning signs. If you see your kid withdrawing from family activities or peer activities,
okay.
If your kid is closing devices when you enter the room, if they won't
walk in, they slam the lid down.
Yeah, or they go off the phone. If they won't share their passwords, if they're spending excessive amounts of time in the bathroom,
okay.
If they're secretive about their online friends, they won't tell you who they've met. Lack of sleep is critical. That's one of the ways the pediatricians are finding that the kids are using too much porn, is they're not sleeping, they're using the porn at night. If they start using precocious sexual language, okay, suddenly you've not heard this before, mood shifts, anxiety, depression. Now, of course, this can be from other things. But
yeah, this is some of the same things with sexual abuse.
Exactly. Well, in a way, they're being sexually abused by
absolutely.
The
family. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, you're right.
They have access to extra money, or suddenly they're buying expensive things. It's a sign they're being groomed online and that the groomer is providing them with money they
through
didn't
PayPal
have.
They can say, hey, send us a picture of your of you naked and we'll send you $2 or $5.
Oh, no, much more than that, and we'll send you nice clothes and things like that. So watch out for what kid. Also, if their sexual behavior is not developmentally appropriate, if they start acting out with other kids or with adults, watch out for that. Now, again, you're right. These are absolute signs of sexual abuse as well. But as we said, you know, show a kid looking being exposed to pornography is a form of sexual abuse. You are giving that kid a traumatic response to, because just think how the body is betraying itself. That kid is going to porn, probably masturbating, probably feeling aroused, and yet is watching the most violent images. What is sense is that kid to make of themselves? They're so, we know from studies, they're full of self-disgust, self-loathing. They think there's something wrong with them, when in fact they have been heavily targeted by the porn industry through the business model of the porn, of free porn. So those are things. Now, what they can do. So if you go onto our website, cultureyframe.org, we have huge amount of resources.
Yes.
On top of, you can go on to our programs. Now, I want to say something. We made our programs free.
Yes.
We did that on purpose. And the reason we did that is because we wanted every single parent to have access to that, irrespective of financial of income. But that meant we lost our revenue stream. Okay, so we have to go through foundations and individuals. So we are absolutely ready to scale up. We cannot deal with all the requests that come at us for lectures, for articles. And we also want to start a new project, which we're looking for foundational individual money for now, called Pep Talks.
And Pep Talk.
And what it is parent-to-parent peer groups. So what they are is we want to train parents to be facilitators for discussions of our parents' program. So instead of doing a book club and reading a chapter a week or something, or a few chapters, they read two modules a week, and then we train the facilitator. And each parent who's been trained brings in 5 to 10 parents and then spreads the word out. Because our programs are online, but we want more interaction. And what we found through all the studies is that if you can get more interaction around these things, and you know how we got this idea? It's because schools were calling us and telling us, by the way, we're using your program instead of a book club. And parents, wow, every Sunday or whatever night are getting together to discuss your program. So there's no other programs like it in the world. I do suggest they go on thecultureyframe.org, click on programs. You just have to put your email address in. It's all free. And just to see what we've built, because we really believe that everybody in this world has a vested interest in the next generation. Your child, my child, and vice versa, right?
And if they want to help you financially, there's a spot on there you can help us, because it is a nonprofit that they can donate.
Absolutely.
If they believe in this cause. There is not a parent that should get on this. And there's probably not a family that shouldn't donate something to help get this even more powerful to the next level, to help protect our kids. Is it children our number one commodity?
Absolutely.
And we're letting them down,
you know,
by ignoring the problem.
And we're only, a society is only as strong as its next generation. And we are literally allowing the porn industry to eat our kids alive. We have got to adult up here. We have got to stop. We have handed our kids over to the porn industry. And I say enough. We have got to stop. So yeah, please, everybody, go on Culture Reframed. That's like reframing a picture, but with ED on the end.org. You can contact us through Culture Reframed, or just put my name into Google, Gail Dines, and come up on
and
my
you'll website. Get all kinds of stuff. I believe you. That was so interesting this afternoon. I spent all afternoon watching you and listening to you. What kind of, because we only have about 2 minutes, what kind of financial gain does the porn industry have right now? What kind of billions are we talking about?
Oh, untold billions. We cannot. You see, they're all privately held, so you can't.
Okay, so do you think it's more than any other industry? Does it make Amazon look small?
No, I would say it's on a line with them, with the major tech corporations and the major organizations. Yes, but you know what's the difference about pornography? It's multi-billion dollar, it's above ground, and it is the only above ground industry that is completely unregulated.
Wow.
The only industry that is above ground, that is unregulated and multi-billion dollars. We have to do something here. We have dropped the ball. We need to say a collective, I am sorry to our kids. We are sorry we have not dealt with this, but now we are going to make repair on this, and we are not going to hand you over to the pornographers. You are too much. You are too precious to us to give them to these predatory industries.
What a message. And I tell you, Doctor, you've made a very, and if it was, I understand, I was tensed up about this, but I knew this was information that had to get out. You made this so easy to discuss. And I think that's so important because parents, even though I was uncomfortable talking to adult, if you don't, who will? If you ignore this, who will have that conversation with your child about this? And I guarantee you, it's somebody on the other side of this that you don't want. And it's important that you put on the big boy and big girl pants here and become the parent that we have been responsible to be with our creator and maker. And Dr. Dines, I can't thank you enough. It was an honor. And I want to invite you already back sometime, maybe the next couple of months, because I know my phone is going off. I know my emails are going off the boards right now with people that are thanking me for bringing you on tonight. And we want to have you back on real soon, if you would.
Well, thank you. I'd like to thank you for the work you do as well. It's so important what you do. I mean, we kind of cross-fertilize, you and I, in the work that we do in building consciousness and, you know, looking at the things. And you'll probably agree, you know, we cannot unsee what we have seen and we cannot unhear what we have heard. So therefore, we have no choice but to go out there and change the world.
Yeah, thank you so much for your work. Get on there. And that is cultureReframed.org. Dr. Gail, G-A-I-L, Dines, D-I-N-E-S. Thank you so much for being here. Next week, we're going to have Adrian Augustus, founder and president of Beautiful Mind Foundation, another wonderful foundation. But we just want everybody to just get on there tonight with Dr. Gail Dines and find out more about this. Parents, please, I'm pleading. As we end every program like we do each and every week, I always want to let you know that no matter what you're involved in, no matter what has happened to you, or no matter what's going to happen to you, no matter what is going on in your life right now, there is always, always hope. Parents, don't throw in the towel on your child. There's hope, but it's your responsibility to get educated on how to talk to them about what they're dealing with behind closed doors. And we've had a perfect, perfect expert tonight sharing that with us tonight. Be with us right here next week for another edition, 8 p.m. live Central Time from the most beautiful city in the country, Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have an awesome week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.